Every day would start the same way. As soon as Professor Nordling hit the door of the classroom, he would say in a booming voice, and we would all join in, "Kaireta, in Kyrio Pantote, Paulin Ero Kaireta," which is verse 4 of our epistle lesson for today, said in Greek, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." I have to admit, there were many days during Greek class that I didn't feel like rejoicing. Each day meant another dozen words to memorize with all their different forms, parsing verbs, person, number, tense, mood, voice, learning noun paradigms, first, second, third declensions. It was like drinking water through a fire hose. Nobody said seminary would be easy. But it is easy to lose your joy. It happened to me about 3 weeks in. Anxiety set in. And for the many of you that know me pretty well, anxiety is not one of my personality traits. Unfortunately for many, this time around Christmas is exactly the same. It's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, or as the song goes. But let's be honest, for many of us, the weeks leading up to Christmas are filled with anxiety. We worry about the gifts that we'll give or the ones that we simply just can't afford. We stress over family gatherings, whether they'll bring joy or conflict. And deep down, we wrestle with the shopping, the list of things to do, the cost of everything, the traffic, and we wonder, where is God in all of this? Today in our New Testament reading from Philippians chapter 4, Paul speaks to us in the midst of our anxiety. His words are a comfort for our weary, restless souls. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything. This might sound impossible. How can we rejoice when our life feels so messy, when we have so much to do? How can we let go of that anxiety? But Paul doesn't leave us without an answer. He points us to Christ, who came to bring peace to our anxious hearts. Going back to the beginning of chapter 4, Paul begins in verse 1, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord." Paul begins the chapter with a simple yet profound command, stand firm in the Lord. This command reminds us that our Christian lives are not without struggles, without challenges. The Philippians were facing external persecution from the Romans and internal conflicts within their church, false teachings, divisions, and the like. Yet Paul encourages them and us to stand firm, not in our own strength, but in the Lord. Think about the Christmas story for a moment. Mary and Joseph certainly had reasons to be anxious. Mary, a young virgin, is told that she will bear the Son of God. Joseph, engaged to Mary, must trust the angel's message and take her as his wife, despite the scandal. And together they journey to Bethlehem, only to find no room in the inn. Yet through it all, they stand firm, not because they understood everything, but because they trusted in God's promises. We too can stand firm because the same God who was faithful to Mary, the same God who was faithful to Joseph, is faithful to us. He sent his Son into the world to be our Savior, and his promises never fail. Paul goes on to write in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Just like I had a hard time rejoicing in Greek class, many find it hard to rejoice at Christmas time. Now, rejoicing isn't the same as pretending that everything is fine. It's not putting on the happy face when your heart is breaking. True rejoicing is rooted in knowing that the Lord is near, Emmanuel, God with us. This command that we are given to rejoice might seem a bit unrealistic, especially when our lives are hard. But Paul isn't telling us to rejoice in our circumstances. He's telling us to rejoice in the Lord. Now, a good Lutheran question is, what does this mean? It means that many times we won't find our joy in our circumstances and what's happening around us. But we will find it in the unchanging promise of God's love for us in Jesus Christ. This, then, is the joy of the Advent season. We rejoice because Christ came into the world as a baby in the manger at Bethlehem, fulfilling God's promises. We rejoice because Christ is present with us now, here, today, right now, in word and sacrament ministry, sustaining us through life's trials and troubles. And we rejoice because Christ has promised that he will come again and he will fulfill his promises and he will bring us with him into eternal life. This is why we rejoice. Not because life is easy, but because Christ came, is here, and will come again. Emmanuel, God with us. Then Paul makes this astonishing statement. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But what does Paul mean when he says, do not be anxious about anything? Does that mean that we should never feel worried? No. Anxiety is part of living in a broken, fallen world. Yet even Paul himself admitted to feeling the weight of anxiety concerning the church of the time when he writes in 2 Corinthians 11:28, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. What Paul is saying here is this. Instead of letting anxiety consume us, we are called to bring our worries to God in prayer. Notice how he says, in everything by prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving. Let's break this down a little bit. In writing, in everything, Paul is saying that no concern is too small for our God. He wants to hear it all. And how do we bring our cares to God? By prayer and supplication. We are to bring our cares, concerns, worries, troubles, everything. We need to bring our requests honestly and humbly before our God in prayer. And we are to do it with thanksgiving. Even in the midst of all the anxiety that Christmas may bring us, or Greek class for that matter, we can always give thanks to God for his faithfulness and his blessings. A spirit of thanksgiving changes our focus from ourselves to God. From fear to trust. So what are you anxious about today as we sit here on the third Sunday of Advent with Christmas looming in just a week and a half? Is it your health? Is it your finances? Your family? Your shopping list? Your future? Whatever it is, bring it to God. Lay it at the feet of Jesus who says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. And then finally, Paul offers us this promise in verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This peace right here, is not the kind of peace that the world offers. Temporary, fragile, a peace dependent on your circumstances. The peace that Paul talks about is coming from knowing that you are loved by God, forgiven in Christ, and held secure in his hands. Think again of the Christmas story. When the angels appeared to the shepherds, they proclaimed, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Luke 2:14. That same peace is ours because Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came into the world to reconcile us to the Father, to God. Through his life, death, and resurrection, he has made peace between heaven and earth. And now, that peace guards our hearts and our minds, even in the midst of Greek class, in the midst of life's anxieties. God is with us, Emmanuel. So as we journey through the Advent season and prepare to celebrate Christmas, let these words from Philippians 4 be your guide. Stand firm in the Lord, trusting in his promises. Rejoice always, knowing that the Lord is near. Bring your anxieties to God in prayer with thanksgiving. And rest. Rest in the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. No matter what burdens you're carrying with you today, remember this. The child born in Bethlehem is your Savior. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And because he is with us, we can face life's anxieties, even Greek class, with confidence and with hope. Amen.